Our first scripture reading, as we are going to consider today the atonement of Jesus Christ, our first reading is Psalm 110. A psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power, in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. And now our second and third reading come to us from the book of Hebrews. First from chapter 5. Hebrews 5, verses 5 through 10. Speaking of God's priesthood, so also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications, with loud cries and tears, to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what was suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And now finally, chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. Hebrews 9, 11 through 14, our final scripture reading. Continuing to reflect upon Christ as that high priest in that Melchizedekian order. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats, and the sprinkling of defiled persons with ashes of a heifer, sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's turn to page 862 in your Psalter hymnal. 862. We arrive today at Article 21 of the Belgic Confession, an article on the atonement of Jesus Christ. Now, Belgic Confession Article 20 does touch on the atonement, but it really focuses on the atonement from the vantage point of the work of the Father. The Father's work in sending the Son to accomplish justice, and the Father's work in providing for us mercy. So Article 20 has already been focusing on the atonement, but again, from the standpoint of the Father's work, sending the Son and giving us mercy. Today in Article 21, we reflect on the atonement, focusing instead on the work of Jesus Christ. So let me read this for us. Article 21, the atonement. We believe that Jesus Christ is a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, made such by an oath, and that he presented himself in our name before his Father to appease his wrath with full satisfaction by offering himself on the tree of the cross and pouring out his precious blood for the cleansing of our sins, as the prophets had predicted. For it is written that the chastisement of our peace was placed on the Son of God, and that we are healed by his wounds. He was led to death as a lamb, he was numbered among sinners, and condemned as a criminal by Pontius Pilate, though Pilate had declared that he was innocent. So he paid back what he had not stolen, and he suffered the just for the unjust, in both his body and his soul, in such a way that when he sensed the horrible punishment required by our sins, his sweat became like big drops of blood falling on the ground. He cried, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" And he endured all this for the forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, we rightly say with Paul that we know nothing but Jesus and him crucified. We consider all things as dung for the excellence of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find all comforts in his wounds and have no need to seek or invent any other means to reconcile ourselves with God than this one and only sacrifice, once made, which renders believers perfect forever. This is also why the angel of God called him Jesus, that is, Savior, because he would save his people from their sins. Well, may God add his blessing to the teaching of his word. As you might have already inferred from that article of faith, as we are coming to reflect upon the atonement of Jesus Christ, we still have and already have in our view the great errors of Roman Catholicism. Recall the context in which the Belgic Confession was written. There were great errors in the Roman Catholic Church that were then written in stone and persist, therefore, to this day, that relate to the atonement of Jesus Christ. Great errors that center around the Mass and how that Mass is seen as something of an ongoing sacrifice, a daily sacrifice to make propitiation, oblation for the sins of God's people. And therefore, here, as we are thinking about atonement and thinking about the work of Jesus Christ, we are reflecting upon Christ as the only high priest. We are reflecting upon an eternal high priest. We are reflecting upon atonement once made, completed, for the perfection of the Christian. Therefore, we do not seek to invent another means of atonement. We're not seeking some other sacrifice for our sins. We find all things in Christ. And it is to that end that we reflect today upon this atonement. We're going to think about his priesthood and then his priestly work. First, Christ's priesthood. Note that as Hebrews teaches us, the priesthood of Jesus Christ did not come by fleshly descent. Now, under the Old Covenant, there was a descent for priesthood. The broader tribe of Levi provided the Levitical priests. And then within that, you find the lineage of Aaron that provided the descent for the high priests, who would then serve in the most holy place. Well, the priesthood of Jesus does not come to us through some earthly lineage. His priesthood is not coming from Levi and Aaron, but rather the priesthood of Jesus Christ is by divine appointment, by that oath that we read of in Psalm 110. You see, here's the thing that Hebrews and Psalm 110 are laboring to teach us. That God had appointed a more ultimate priesthood.
A priesthood that actually predated the Levitical priesthood. It was a priesthood that was made manifest in Genesis chapter 14, well before the Levites came to be. Well before the sons of Jacob had been born, we see a mysterious priest walk onto the scene, a priest named Melchizedek. And he came forth onto the battlefield, and he blessed Abraham. Now the greater blesses the lesser. And Melchizedek came out of nowhere. He comes out of nowhere to bless our father in the faith. Which means that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. He blessed Abraham. He brought forth bread and wine for Abraham. And then he disappears from the scene. Everyone else in the covenant lineage of God, everyone else in the book of Genesis, their death is recorded. Because God's people are subject to death in this age. But we read no such thing about Melchizedek. Now, as this great mystery is unpacked for us later in the Bible, we learn that Melchizedek was a type and shadow for us of Jesus Christ. That Melchizedek was a priest of God. And Melchizedek was manifesting for us a more ultimate reality that there was a far greater priesthood behind the priesthood of Aaron, behind the priesthood of the Levites, the priesthood of Jesus, the eternal Son. He belongs to this order of Melchizedek. He is that eternal high priest. This means that we have a challenge to offer to the Roman Catholic Church. This priesthood is eternal. This priesthood is by appointment of God. It is not by some earthly descent. We have one great high priest. So what do they make of this Pope who is functioning as a great high priest? Where is this appointment? It is not found in Matthew 16. There's no appointment of Peter to be some ongoing everlasting Pope and some lineage coming from Peter. No. If he is eternally Rock because of his confession of faith, he must also be eternally Satan, which is the next words out of Jesus' mouth. Get behind me, Satan. He was not appointing Peter as some ongoing high priest to create some papacy down the ages. No. We challenge Rome in this. Where does your priesthood find its origin? Why do you need more than Jesus? He is the one after the order of Melchizedek. He is the one unveiled in the fullness of time. He is the one who has come to do all things well. Why the need for priests and a high priest? First point, his priesthood is eternal. It comes by oath after the order of Melchizedek. It is more ultimate than that of the Old Covenant. Our second point, his priestly work. Christ came as that high priest to perform a great work of cleansing for us, beloved. This is great good news for us. Of course, all these things revolve around the cross. It is there that he performed that priestly work of propitiation. Remember that word from last week, propitiation, to absorb the wrath of God, to satisfy justice, that God may then be pleased with us, no longer wrathful against us. That happened at the cross. At the cross, he did that priestly work of absorbing wrath to cleanse us of our sins. That great priestly work, offering a sacrifice to bring cleansing. We might also think about how priests did not just offer sacrifices, but they also appear before God on behalf of the people.
Think about how Aaron would do that once a year. Offer sacrifice to cleanse the temple, to cleanse the people. And then he would appear in the Holy of Holies with the names of the tribes of Israel emblazoned upon him. He would appear before God in the most holy place. Well, so too, our high priest, the one after the order of Melchizedek, did not just offer a sacrifice of himself. He also appeared before the Father. He presented himself before the Father, of course, at the cross. But we also think about him appearing before the Father after the sacrificial work was done, to present his blood, to appear in that heavenly holy place. And all those things were fulfilled with the ascension of Jesus Christ. As he went up from this earth, as he went body and soul into the heavenly holy place, our high priest presented himself before the Father, and he was received, and he is received eternally. Again, with this priestly work, the Belgic Confession presents a challenge to Roman Catholicism. The Roman Catholic priests offer up daily sacrifices for sins in the Mass. Daily sacrifices that appease the wrath of God. They are sacrifices for sins, beloved. These are sacrifices that accomplish salvation according to their dogma. Now, they will attach the Mass to the cross of Jesus Christ and say that this is part of that one sacrifice. But then you say, well, the cross wasn't enough. The cross wasn't done. When Jesus said it is finished, it wasn't really finished. After all, when I read Hebrews, it seems very clear that that sacrifice was offered once for all time on the cross. And that when he entered into heaven itself to present himself, to sit down, that meant there was no more priestly work of accomplishment of salvation to be done. All was accomplished because of the cross of Jesus Christ. So the challenge goes, well, why the need for ongoing sacrifice for sins? What are you still trying to accomplish in that daily Mass that is offered up for the sins of the people? We confess, rather, that we know nothing but Jesus and him crucified. The cross is enough. That accomplished salvation. We confess his name is Jesus, which means Savior. We do not need to be involved in that saving work by offering up Jesus to appease the wrath of God. The church, through some priesthood, does not join in with that atoning work. No. We confess with Isaiah 53, by his wounds we are healed, referring to the crucifixion. And so we ask, did his wounds really accomplish healing? Are his wounds enough? Or do we need more? Let me say a brief word about that word I've been using, accomplishment. It is a very important term I'm using there, accomplishment. When I say Christ accomplished atonement, I'm saying it is all done. The sacrifice is paid. Propitiation is made. It's accomplished. When Jesus did that, the accomplishment was with respect to his Father. Accomplishment is vertical, going upward toward God. Okay? Now, we still have a very high view of the Lord's Supper. But the direction is not upward toward God as if we are accomplishing atonement. No. It is vertical, coming down from God. Because now God is giving us a gift. Atonement has been accomplished,
by the one-time work of Christ, and now it is being applied. It's one thing for it to happen 2,000 years ago on the cross, but now it needs to be applied to sinners like you and like me. And when the gospel is proclaimed, when the sacraments are administered, we are not making atonement. We are not accomplishing anything. No. Gifts are pouring down from heaven upon needy sinners as atonement is being applied by grace, through faith, as the Spirit comes and brings us Jesus. So when we gather around the holy table, and when we are appearing reverently before the Lord, we are not accomplishing anything with respect to the Lord. No, He is applying something to us. He is bringing Christ to us. He is bringing the saving benefits of Christ. He is renewing us in forgiveness. He is empowering us to become new creation. He is comforting us. He is encouraging us. He is sending us out so we can be pilgrims in a wilderness age. The Lord is at work. We are not at work. But the Lord is bringing us the benefits of Christ. In conclusion, beloved, you have security. I hope that's clear to you. In Christ, you have security. The atonement has been accomplished. This is not a message of hurry up and get to work now. This is a message of news. God has done something. The gospel does not say get busy. The gospel does not say get to work. The gospel says good news. Something is done. Atonement is accomplished. And so today we have security. We gather around the Lord in heaven with a confession of faith. We gather around the throne of heaven with hearts full of all comfort. We have a great high priest who has made atonements. And now he sprinkles his blood. He sprinkles forth benefits. He sprinkles out all salvation to his people, sending it forth to you and to me. As we sit in our seats with believing hearts and receive Christ by grace through faith. Take heart today, beloved. Atonement has been accomplished, and in our day it is being applied. Amen.